Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. One of the most important skills we need to develop, regardless of what career we are pursuing, regardless of what kind of business we are in, is communication. Being able to communicate our ideas, being able to tell our stories, being able to rally people around our movements. There are so many different reasons why communication is so important, but how exactly do we maintain 5-star communication? How exactly do we get so good at communicating our ideas and some of the things we're working on, our vision, to the point where we get people to take action and take seriously and like listen to the words we say when we're up at the stage speaking, have that really strong impact on other people. That's what we're going to focus on in this episode. Today's guest is the author of the book, 5 Stars, The Communication Secrets to Get from Good to Great. He has done TED Talks before. He has helped people with his books to become better speakers, to become better communicators, and convey their ideas to hungry audiences who are eager for new ideas and new takeaways that they can get in order to grow their businesses and achieve success that they want to achieve. So today's guest, he specializes in communication, he specializes in public speaking and that storytelling. For episode 214 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we welcome none other than Carmine Gallo. Carmine, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, Mark. Thanks for inviting me. I think this is a great audience for this content. I'm always excited to speak to content creators and people who want to share their ideas. And thanks for letting me be number 214. I love it.
Thank you, Carmine, for taking the time to be on the show, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I did get to read your book before the show, so we're going to be talking about that. A lot of really great content in there. That book will be in the show notes for this episode. But can you just talk to us a little bit why you decided to write 5 Stars and the whole idea behind it?
I have written a couple of books. Well, I've written 9 books, but the communication books that have done very well were more presentation type of books, Mark. I wrote The Presentation Secrets of Steve Jobs, and a lot of people read that book who are managers and senior leaders who present in front of large groups, and they found it very valuable. And then I wrote a book called Talk Like TED, which is how to give a TED-style presentation, but not necessarily just for the TED stage, but what we could learn from some of the best speakers on the planet today. Many people took those books and looked at them as presentation books in front of large audiences. And I realized that many of the successful entrepreneurs that I've been working with and who I've met over the years are not necessarily people who are speaking in front of thousands of people and giving a big PowerPoint or product launch. They're professionals and entrepreneurs and business owners and small business owners who have blogs and they're on social media and they're speaking or just giving workshops within their companies or to advance their services and their careers. They're not necessarily on that big stage. My goal in writing 5 Stars was to identify what are those qualities and what are those important skills that people who have achieved a tremendous amount of success in their careers, regardless of what type of career they're in, how have they done that? And how has communication played a role in their success? So it's much more of a broad audience than just the people focused on how do I give a better presentation?
And it's definitely more of a broad focus where it's not just that big presentation. Like there are some of these tactics where it may just be a one-on-one conversation where these tactics apply, like storytelling and being able to get people to take action. And one of the things that is so important is our ability to communicate our ideas. And the better we're able to communicate these ideas, the more positive feedback we're going to get. Sometimes it could be the difference between getting the job and not getting the job. It's not always based on expertise, as Carmine has a really good example in the book. But can you just give us a brief overview of how we can more effectively communicate our ideas?
Well, let me give you the big picture now that you've sort of said that, because I'm listening to you as you're talking through this, and we're using the word communication, communicating your ideas. And I want to be very specific about something, Mark, and I think this is really important. This isn't just a conversation about, hey, you need to be a better communicator. No, the reason why I wrote this book is because I have spoken to scientists, AI researchers, billionaires, educators, historians, economists, and they have told me something really empowering and very important that I put in the intro to Five Stars. I hope I make this argument right out of the gate. The ability to express your ideas convincingly and persuasively is more important today than ever before in human civilization. I mean, that's quite a transformative idea if you think about it. And this isn't my opinion. This is the opinion of historians and economists who study this stuff. They have told me, and I have it in the book, I've got some research, that persuasion is actually more important today than ever before. And the way they explained it to me, and I'm just going to take 20 seconds to explain it to your audience, Mark, is that in the agrarian age, which was most of human history, if you plowed a field faster than the person next to you, you couldn't really get that much more wealth. In the industrial age, you wouldn't grow more wealthy if you could assemble widgets faster than the person next to you on the factory line. Today, for the first time ever, if you put it in perspective, anyone with an idea has the tools and the platform to broadcast that idea to millions of people instantly. And so what I have been told, and this is I've been told this by billionaires, by business leaders, and Warren Buffett has also reinforced this as well. Anyone who can express their ideas a little better than everybody else can see a sudden massive increase in wealth that is unprecedented in history. That's really a mind-boggling thing to think about. And that's why I think that the people who are listening to this podcast, they're the content creators. They're the entrepreneurs who have blogs and ideas, and they're out there getting those ideas across. They have, for the first time, platforms that were unavailable to the average person. And now we can get our ideas across on social media, on YouTube. This is where the storytellers now are going to shine. It's the storytellers, not the smart machines, that are going to stand out. That's amazing to me. And I'm still just really inspired by what I've learned. And so I hope my passion comes across, Mark. But you know, when an AI scientist, a top artificial intelligence scientist, tell you that we all have a human edge, we have an edge over smart machines, and that is our ability to imagine, our ability to communicate, our ability to inspire other people through our words and our ideas. And when you're told by AI scientists that no smart machine can replicate that, at least not in our lifetimes, that should be a pretty empowering observation for all of our listeners.
And I agree that, like, when you think about how far technology is advancing, there are things like our imagination, as you mentioned before, that we will have that make us unique compared to some of the things on the horizon, and you can actually use that imagination to make the machines even smarter in that scenario. Yeah. But you mentioned that this is a great time for storytellers, and I agree with you, because stories are very captivating. We've been telling them since the beginning of time, but I'm wondering, how can we get better at telling our stories, and in particular, work on a signature story?
Yeah, I would love to talk about that, Mark, because what's really interesting about storytelling is that this isn't just my idea. People like Richard Branson, and I quote him in the book, Richard Branson told me firsthand, you cannot be a successful entrepreneur today, in his opinion, if you're not a great storyteller. Isn't that interesting? It's like this tool and this skill that so many of your listeners really know instinctively and intuitively and work at it is one of the most valuable skills to have in business today. And that's why I think it sets us apart, Mark, to be honest, because not a lot of business professionals have that knowledge. They don't necessarily have the skill. They don't work on the skill. I think anyone can be a great storyteller in business, but they don't necessarily see themselves as storytellers. And I have to convince business professionals that they should see themselves as storytellers and not just people who have information to convey. Your listeners already see themselves as chief storytellers. And I think that's fascinating. So I think yours is a great audience so that we can really begin to get into the nuts and bolts of story. I spoke to scientists who actually study the science of how stories work on our brains. I don't know if you've ever had those people on your podcast before, Mark, people like Yuri Hassan at Princeton University. Have you ever gone into the science of storytelling on some of your podcasts?
Not too deep into it.
Oh, it is really fascinating stuff. And so Yuri Hassan over at Princeton is just one of several scientists who I've talked to. They're actually doing these experiments where they look at blood flow to the brains, right? So they attach electrodes to people's scalp, and they do all sorts of different manipulations. And they're finding that when people are engaged in storytelling, when one person is telling a personal story to another person, it actually syncs up the brains of two human beings, where they see blood flow to similar regions. It's called neural coupling. And it's really fascinating stuff, but we are proving in the lab what you and I and all of your listeners already know intuitively, that the way to connect with another person emotionally and in a deep level is through the stories we tell. Isn't that fascinating?
I mean, I mean, it's amazing. Like, you hear about tactics, you hear about like, this is how you tell a better story, but then like the brain part of it is something else.
Well, this is something that's very important for all of our listeners today. They have to understand that, and again, this is stuff that I've learned through all the research that I've done. These aren't just my ideas. What I learned is that the tools of communication have changed. We all know that. They've changed considerably. We're having a conversation on a podcast over Skype. We have PowerPoints and presentation tools and Prezi's now. You know, we have all sorts of different presentation tools and ways of distributing our content and our ideas. What the scientists are telling me is, don't forget that the human brain has not changed. The primitive brain has not changed. So the very same formulas for storytelling that were handed down 2,000 years ago by Aristotle, the father of persuasion, are just as relevant today as they were 2,000 years ago, because the brain has not changed. The tools have changed, but not the human brain. That's why we have to get back to the basics of story. You can use all the tools you want. That's great. That amplifies your story. But the way you tell the story has not changed for thousands of years.
And that is a fascinating conclusion with the yes, so much has changed, but the human brain has not changed. So you have the different tactics, but the principles do remain the same. And our human craving for more stories and the way we want the stories hasn't changed, even though the technology around us has. And it's easier to convey stories, but one of the biggest areas where people seem to do okay or struggle, like not too many people do great at this. It's something like surprisingly simple, and this is something that I'm developing as well, and I know a lot of people who are, but you're at the networking event, and someone asks you the go-to question, what do you do, or something like that, like a conversation starter. It's almost always, what do you do? So how do we get better at telling people what we do and why we do it?
Yeah, that's well, first of all, in a networking situation, I like to ask more questions than answer them. So it's always interesting how the most interesting, and this is true, the most interesting person in the room, Mark, and I'm sure you've noticed this, is the person who asks a lot of questions, and not necessarily the people who talk about themselves, right? But yeah, when it comes to, you know, what do you do and how to answer those type of questions? I think it's always a great example. Always use anecdotes and examples from your own, you know, personal services or products. And that's where storytelling comes in. And what happens, I think, in a lot of situations is we're all just very factual. We all talk about, you know, what we do in terms of the products we offer or the services we offer, and very few people actually tell stories of their personal experiences, which may have led them to what they do. Very few people tell case studies and stories of their customers, and very few people tell stories of their organization or their brand success. It's just all very factual. It's all very data driven. And that to me is boring. And it's also boring to your listener instead of telling those stories. Let me give you, I think the best way of doing this is giving you a couple of examples. Let me give you an example of good storytellers in business today who all of your podcast listeners would relate to, if you don't mind. Can I do that, Mark?
Definitely.
Okay, so let's look at people like Howard Schultz, the former chairman of Starbucks, who's recently retired completely from Starbucks, and now he's obviously going in other directions. I interviewed him for one of my early communication books many years ago. This had to be at least 10 years ago. And it was a transformative moment for me. And that's when I really started learning about storytelling, because we spoke for 2 hours. And this is when he was CEO. You know, he was running Starbucks day to day. And it was interesting because I was the first person to bring up the word coffee. He did not bring up the word coffee. And we were talking about all sorts of things, how to empower employees, the stories of when he visited Milan, Italy, and how it completely transformed his thinking about what a cafe could be like and what he could build in America. He was very entrepreneurship driven, very inspiring. But he didn't even talk about the product, which was the coffee. And so I brought it up, and he said, well, yeah, of course, that's the product we make, but that's not the business I'm in. That's not the business I'm in. That to me was so fascinating. He said, yes, I like coffee. He has a latte every morning, so he likes coffee, but that's not what he's passionate about. Howard Schultz said he was passionate about community and bringing people together and replicating those amazing social experiences that he discovered himself on a trip to Italy. And all of our listeners probably are very familiar with this famous trip to Italy in Milan, where Howard Schultz actually started visiting these coffee bars, these espresso bars, that was all about conversation, that third place between work and home. At the time in America, we didn't really have those kind of coffee shops. Coffee shops sold coffee beans. Or you went to a restaurant. We didn't have, you know, the Starbucks kind of coffee shops that we have today. And it's all about the story. He still tells the story. Even when he retired recently, a few months ago, he's still telling the story of how it all started. And that's the point. We connect with people through the stories they tell, through the experiences they've had, not necessarily through the product. And I think that's the biggest takeaway from today's conversation, at least I hope for your listeners. It's not about your product. It's not about your service. It's about the story behind the product, the story behind the service. And that is so much more interesting to people. And it's okay to repeat those stories. How many times have I read that Starbucks story? I see that all the time. Because in every conversation, Howard Schultz brings it up because it's core to who he is and it's core to the brand. So it's okay to repeat stories. It's okay to repeat those background stories. And we should talk about the elements of good storytelling. But I think one of the overarching themes of this podcast needs to be it's not about your product. Like Howard Schultz said, coffee is what we sell as a product, but that's not the business we're in. And it's the storytelling is what business we're in. It's not the product.
Carmine, I really like that example with Howard Schultz. And we do, like, we create stories around our products that's going to arouse more people's attention. Because when you talk about your product, it's also usually about features. It's like what the product has and a story behind the product, a case study, an example, or how the product came to be, why the product is the way it is. What you're trying to do with your brand, those are some of the stories that can create more loyal customers and get new prospects to customers, become customers, because they feel more attached to the story. And other people we have to attach to our stories, and in this case, more specifically, our vision are our employees, freelancers, assistants, depending on how you delegate, if you do delegate. But I mean, delegating is just something very important. So this is something that we're going to include in this episode. So Carmine, you talk about this frequently throughout your book, but I'm wondering if you could share how can we as leaders drive others, whether it be people on our team or just our readers in general, to accomplish the visions that we set for our businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, on a brand level or a company level, storytelling can be part of that culture as well. So the two examples that come to mind, and of course, these are big companies, of course. However, everything that they do applies to small businesses and entrepreneurs and content creators as well. I've learned from two companies in particular that I wrote about in the Five Stars book, KPMG, which is an accounting firm. I mean, it's a big accounting and consulting firm. What does that have to do with storytelling? KPMG, how does accounting and storytelling go together? Here's what's interesting. Here's what I learned from KPMG that applies to all of us. KPMG had a problem. They had a problem with new employees and with customers and millennials who kind of came into the business. They weren't really connected with the ultimate vision of the company and what the company does. They were, you know, I'm a financial accountant or I'm a consultant. This is my job. This is my task. They weren't connected. There were the engagement was pretty low. Turnover was high. You know, all of the stuff that you would expect to see with a company that doesn't have high engagement. And this is all public knowledge. This is actually a Harvard Business Review case study on KPMG. And then I followed it up with talking to the actual people involved. So this is all true material. They had an engagement problem, and they realized that people weren't connected to them because they didn't know the story. They didn't really know the story of what KPMG did. So KPMG began to train their managers, their senior managers, to be storytellers, to connect what they do today to their ultimate vision and to what their past was. KPMG has been involved in some of the largest and most important events of our time, like helping to fund war efforts in World War II. I mean, just all sorts of major events that have shaped our world. KPMG was a part of that. And yet most new employees, and mid-level employees as well, had no concept of any of that. So they didn't understand the history of the company that they were working for and why it was so important. Mark, as you know, so many people now are motivated by mission and purpose. And it's really hard to get that across if they are just doing a job and they don't see how their job is tied into the ultimate vision and purpose of the company. So KPMG did this incredible thing where they transformed people into storytellers. That's literally what they called them. And they found within, I think it was a 6 or 8 month period, employee engagement began to go up significantly. Turnover began to go down. They started tying profits to higher engagement. I would not have believed any of this, Mark. I am a real skeptic when it comes to these type of observations, okay? Because I think people take some liberties and maybe exaggerate the results a little bit. I like to see the data for myself. This is all Harvard Business Review case study. It's still online and you could see it. This is not my opinion. This is the opinion of the actual people in the company who created this storytelling culture. So what I'm telling all of your listeners today is you already know how to do this and do this really, really well. You are already natural content creators. You're already idea people. You understand story on a much more fundamental level than most other business professionals. I think this is your time to really take advantage of that skill and tell more stories and more impactful stories. Can we talk about, and this very long way of leading to one of your questions, you wanted to know a little bit more about the structure and formula and how we can become better storytellers. Can we talk about that
now? Yes, definitely.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm sorry. I hope I'm not boring you by giving
you too much. No, you're giving a lot of value.
You have to understand, I have been immersed in this for 2 years, and I just have a lot of background information on these incredible transformative case studies. So I'm sorry if I get into the details. I've got to be a better storyteller, Mark. I got to be more concise. That's the problem. But I'll tell you something I learned, and this is the three-act storytelling structure, which actually goes back thousands of years. Aristotle and many of the Greek philosophers introduced this formula, and it's a formula that all of us know intuitively. The reason why Hollywood movies, the reason why successful Hollywood movies can keep you in your seat for 2 hours or more is because they follow a structure. In fact, I've heard from Hollywood movie producers that it is nearly impossible to get a movie funded these days if it doesn't follow this formula. But the formula isn't something that just came out of the blue a few years ago. It's a formula based on the way all classic stories are told going back thousands of years. And so I'm sure all of your listeners are familiar with it, but now let's think about how to apply it to a story. It's called the three-act storytelling structure. And I wrote an entire chapter on in chapter 11 of Five Stars. So the three acts, in case where, you know, in case people forget, is act one is the setup. It's the status quo. It's the characters' lives before the adventure starts. Okay, it's called the setup. In a public presentation or a blog post, the setup can be a few sentences. We'll talk about that in a minute. The second act is the confrontation or the conflict. This is where villains are introduced, hurdles that the hero has to overcome. And act three is simply the resolution, the happy ending. This is where the hero conquers the villain or conquers his or her fears and becomes a better person at the end. Rocky is, you know, the Sylvester Stallone movie, Rocky, is the perfect three-act storytelling structure. That's what I was told by Hollywood movie producers. They said that is the perfect three-act storytelling structure because there's a man who is struggling at the bottom. I mean, and he was right. Rocky was really down and out. He wasn't just an average boxer. I mean, he was Palookaville, right? You know, having to break thumbs for a living. I mean, you got to have a hero who's really kind of down and out and then goes through that transformational period where at the end, even though he doesn't necessarily win the boxing match, he is transformed. Every successful Hollywood movie, every great book, every great novel, every great play, every great story has this three-act structure, or at least something very similar to it. That's why I'm excited about bringing this three-act structure to the business presentation. I have found very similar structures in great business conversations or great business presentations. Nobody did it better than Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, in my mind, is still the greatest business storyteller of all time. I don't think anybody came close. Because what he did, Mark, is he never came out and introduced a product. He always gave us the setup first. What is the status quo? In 2007, Steve Jobs introduced the first iPhone, one of the most magnificent storytelling presentations of all time. It's on YouTube. That's the beauty of these new tools. We could actually see storytelling, not just in movies, but we could see them in business presentations. Steve Jobs walks out on stage, and do you think he just introduced a new product? Hey, we got a great new product to introduce today. We're really excited about it. It's a new smartphone. It's Apple's first smartphone, and here are the features. Here it is. Take a look. No, he didn't do that at all, actually. In fact, he did quite the opposite. He said, let's take a look at Apple's history and how we've evolved into these consumer products over time. And he kind of took us back through the evolution of Apple products and how they've changed people's lives. That's the setup. That's where we are today. And now we're going to take it to the next level by introducing this transformative new product called the iPhone. Then he goes back into the setup. He kind of goes back into another storytelling structure. He says, why do we need a new iPhone? Well, because there's a lot of problems with current competitors out there. Let's take a look at the suspects. That's the actual word he used. So take a look at the iPhone presentation from 2007, Mark, and you'll see that he actually uses words that are very like the villain. He's introducing villains. Let's take a look at the suspects. The suspects make your life really hard. And he showed photographs of competitors of the other smartphones on the market that were confusing and hard to use. And so he introduces the villains, the problems, the hurdles. And by the end of it, you're thinking, oh my gosh, how are we going to overcome all of this? Never fear, we have a solution. And then he introduces the hero, the iPhone. It takes a while to get to the product. That's what I think was genius, Mark. And I don't think a lot of business professionals understand that. They come out with the product. Or getting back to our conversation about, hey, here's what I do. Let me tell you what I do. And here's my service, or here's the product I sell, and here's all the cool things about it. Instead of the setup, the conflict, the resolution. So I've noticed that great conversations and great presentations, some fall into that. It's not a perfect formula. We're not writing a 120-page movie script here, Mark. But I've noticed that more often than not, they kind of fall into that pattern. Here's the status quo, and these are like great product pitches too, or when people are trying to solicit new business. Some really good salespeople will not go in there and say, hey, well, here's our product, let's take a look at it. They set it up first. We've done a lot of research, Mark. We've looked into your product category, or we've looked into your category, and we find that here are some of the problems that you're facing. So now you've told me that you've learned about me. You've taken the time to understand me a little bit and about my industry. So now I'm kind of nodding in agreement. I'm thinking, yep, this guy gets me. This salesperson gets me. They understand what I'm talking about. And then they introduce a problem or a hurdle. That's the villain. It doesn't have to be a physical person. It can be a competitor. It can be a problem. It can be a setback to overcome. And then they introduce the product at the end. That's the resolution. And then they usually have a transformation at the end, Mark. Literally a transformation where we can take you from where you are today, that's the status quo, help you overcome the hurdles, that's Act Two, to a transformation. This is the way the world is going to look when, after you adopt our product, our service, our idea. It's a really fascinating structure. It takes some creativity, but I'm confident that your listeners can handle what we're talking about today because they're creative. And look, something I don't talk about very much, Mark, because I don't want to scare people, but your listeners understand this. To create compelling content does take a little work. It takes creativity. You got to really think this stuff through. That's why you see so many bad business presentations, because that's easy. Anybody, and I used to do this years ago, anybody can open a PowerPoint presentation and just start filling out some bullets. Anyone can do that. To actually think through a narrative structure, that's hard work. That actually takes some creativity. But it pays off in the end, because that's why I named the book 5 Stars. You stand out. You stand out. You can't be average anymore. Average only guarantees below average results. You have to have something extra. And that's why I think for content creators today, their extra is their imagination, their creativity, their storytelling skill.
Carmine, you just dropped a lot of value. I mean, like the Steve Jobs, like I feel like anytime someone invokes Steve Jobs, like you just know there's going to be a really good lesson in there. And I like how you recap the story of how he didn't really talk about the product until the very end. And a lot of people are quick to talk about the product, skip past the storytelling stage, which you think about that a little bit more and you get people into the emotional journey. And when you get people into that emotional journey, you position your product as a hero. You definitely get a lot more people to become customers. But during the whole communication and pitching our story and framing our story, there's just certain challenges that come along the way. And with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
So the, something on a personal, on my personal journey. Yeah, I think that I was a journalist for about 15 years, and that was hard. I was a working journalist. I worked at CNN and CBS and a number of other outlets around the country. That was going to be my career path, and I was not that passionate about it. I wanted to be on the other side of things, not just asking the questions, but helping business leaders craft the answers to those questions, you know, really helping them become better storytellers and better communicators. And so, but I was in it, you know, I was right in that career path for about 15 years, and I started to transition out, and I got a job as a vice president of a major global public relations firm. And I was doing kind of what I like to do. I was actually starting the process of working with executives and CEOs and leaders to help them communicate more effectively. So I was in a good spot and I was making really good money. I was making 6 figures. I had a vice president title. And it still wasn't enough. Most of your listeners will understand I really wanted to have my own flexibility, to be able to write what I want, when I want. I wanted to share through books and blogs and other platforms. I wanted to be able to pick and choose who I wanted to work with and expand into other areas. So I actually had to make a decision, and the hardest day of my life, which actually turned out to be the best day of my life, was voluntarily leaving a six-figure salary and walking home, you know, walking home on the phone with my wife. We had a baby on the way and a new mortgage in a very expensive town. So, and I went from literally 6 figures to zero. I went to zero, and we had one $1,200 project lined up in the next few months. Man, that was tough, Mark. That was the hurdle, right? that struggle I had to overcome. But, you know, 10 years plus later, I'm in a good space. I've written 9 books, and I get to speak to CEOs and conferences around the world, and it's been wonderful. But boy, that takes, I understand all of your, especially your listeners who are entrepreneurs. I get it. It takes passion, and it takes vision, and it takes guts and courage and grit. That's the hardest job, isn't it? The hardest job to go out on your own.
Yeah, it is definitely one of the hardest, but also the most rewarding, because like in your case, you're able to impact so many people. And like, that's one of the themes of entrepreneurship, just having to, like, in some cases go solo, and then in the end, growing a team, being able to grow your influence. And another theme that I see amongst a lot of entrepreneurs is self-education, being able to acquire more knowledge about your niche. And one of my favorite ways of acquiring more knowledge is to read as many books as possible. So Carmine, I can only imagine how many books you've had to read and articles for just like 5 stars alone, just doing research for that book. But I'm wondering if you could share with us 3 book recommendations that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Well, there are a number of different books I've been reading lately in the air. I don't just read books in my category, which I think is really important. You got to expand outside of your category and start really expanding your knowledge. That's why I like to read books that are, they're not necessarily communication books, but they teach me a lot about communication and how to be a better entrepreneur. I'm absolutely sure that either you've already mentioned it or your listeners know about this. Have you talked about Ray Dalio's book called Principles?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that's one of those life-changing books. I still have it here in my library. I turn to it from time to time. And I follow him on social media. I think that's a wonderful book, but there's always like that one thing that you take away. He reminds all of us to be learn-it-alls and not know-it-alls. You know, he's reminding us to be as open-minded as possible to different ideas and to constantly be learning. So here's a guy, I forgot how old he is, but he's obviously, you know, older than the many millennials that he has working for him. But it doesn't matter to him. It doesn't matter who has the best idea. Whoever has the best idea wins. So he's constant. So I'll tell you exactly how that helped me. I'm now getting up there. You know, I've been doing this for, I've been in business and my career for more than 20 years. So I'm getting a little up there too. And I'm working with a lot of very young people when I write for different publications. And I mean, you know, people in their early 20s, mid 20s. And I cannot go in there and think, well, I've been writing longer than you. I know it all, you don't. No, actually, when you have an open mind, and it doesn't matter who you are, what age you are, when you have an open mind and you're a constant learn-it-all, you learn more than you're giving them. So I'm actually learning more from the way they approach content creation, how they approach the mobile content, how they write headlines, how they get to the punch much more quickly than I do. You can already tell I like to kind of back up and, you know, fill in the story. And that doesn't work on mobile. You got to kind of get to the punchline. So I'm learning a lot more from the 22-year-olds than I've ever considered. But you got to have an open mind. I know far too many people in their upper 40s, 50s, in my generation, where you start, you know, kind of thinking you know it all because you've kind of been through it. Well, tell the taxi cab drivers in New York who got Uberized, right, just in a few years, because they thought, well, they knew it, they know it all, and this silly mobile app isn't going to hurt us. So I like that. I like that whole Ray Dalio principle, keeping radical open-mindedness. That's a key learning, Mark. I'll keep an open mind. No, it's radical open-mindedness. If someone half your age has a better idea than you, or someone much older than you has a better idea than you, it's the best idea who wins. It's not your ego. I thought that was a really, really valuable lesson. I'm a big fan of anything Richard Branson writes. So I like, you know, finding my virginity, losing my virginity. I would highly recommend any Richard Branson book, because he doesn't just talk about you know, his career, but he talks about the lessons he's learned. And I'm sure you know that he shares a lot of lessons. I think the book that I like the best from Richard Branson, I'm looking at it now, I'm in my little library, is Finding My Virginity. Yeah, that's the new autobiography. And the really cool thing about that is he goes into storytelling. I interviewed Richard Branson based on the book Finding My Virginity. And in the book, he talks about storytelling and the importance of storytelling. So that's really powerful. I also like what I call the progress books, and I'm not sure if you've covered that at all, the Steven Pinker type of books, Enlightenment Now. Hans Rosling wrote a book called Factfulness that Bill Gates has recommended. I like those books. I call them progress books. They are the books that are showing us that this is the greatest time to be alive in human history. And that's very empowering, because now if you go on social media or you just, you know, go to dinner with your family, everyone's complaining about something, right? Everyone's complaining about it, whether it's politics or things that are happening to their day-to-day life. When you read some of these books like Enlightenment Now, and it takes you through 500 pages of data of why today is the greatest time to be alive based on so many different variables and so many different measurements of human abundance, it kind of gives you this feeling of gratitude where you don't complain anymore. I don't complain when I'm in airports and I'm a little delayed, because I could think back to what Steven Pinker talked about in the 1970s about how few people actually, you know, actually flew on planes, because it was dangerous, much more dangerous than it is today, and much more expensive. You know, it's like every little thing. Or you walk into a grocery store and I'm sitting in a line at Costco. I don't complain anymore. I don't complain because I know I have more abundance of food than even the richest people had 100 years ago, by far. You know, so it's kind of like one of those things, Mark, where I like to read those kind of books because it makes me a more happy entrepreneur. You know, and I really think for entrepreneurs, we need to be above the fray. You know, we need our energy. We can't be pulled down by negativity and pessimism. We need to read positive material to kind of keep our energy up, because God knows it's already hard enough.
Carmine, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations. Those will all be in the show notes, markroberti.com/E214. And if you guys want a free copy of a book that will help you create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue, you can grab my book, Content Marketing Secrets, over at markroberti.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, Carmine, I've asked you several questions about our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
How can I make an emotional connection with people? I think that's the one big question I got from the book that I, in all of my research, is in business today, we're always about selling. We're selling products, selling services. And yet what we forget is that the great successful leaders of our time are those who can make deep emotional connections with people. How do you make an emotional connection with your customer? Start asking yourself that, and everything else begins to change. It's not how much am I selling. And I learned this from Steve Jobs and Apple. I did a lot of research into Apple, and I know people who work with Steve Jobs. They always said, they didn't ask how many computers can we sell. That was a byproduct of asking a more empowering question: how do we connect with people emotionally? It's a powerful question.
Carmine, thank you for sharing with us that great question, all of your great insights throughout our time together. If you want to learn more about Carmine, pick up his book, 5 Stars, The Communication Secrets to Get From Good to Great. He's written a lot of other books as well, but that book in particular, 5 Stars, will be in the show notes of this episode. Carmine, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me, Mark.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn